What's good, Wage World? It's your boy, Five Star in Vegas, broadcasting live as always from beautiful Summerlin, Nevada, and it is indeed beautiful today. I'm in here with both my guys today. I'm in here with the youngest man that ever run a casino sportsbook on the Las Vegas Strip. What's good, Casino Royale?
What's good, Five Star? What's up, Wage World? What's up, Fred? How you doing, my brother?
Man, the only Sacramento Kings fan. We got a good introduction, I see, though. He's the only Sacramento Kings fan that I literally know ever. My God, spread a staff. What up, the OG of the Wavy World? What's up, spread a staff?
Man, I'll probably continue to be the only Sacramento Kings fan as they've kind of come back to earth there after that that run last year. But no, I'm excited to be here, and it's a bunch of stuff going on. You know, the baseball season kicked off, and I'm sure you're going to have some things to say about that as we had a disappointing start. For a team that I know that you love, the Houston Astros.
Yeah, man, I don't want to say too much. I'm just saying, Cito, I told
you. I know you got stuff to say. I know you got stuff to say because they didn't want to give our guy Dusty his props.
Man,
they thought he just sat there. They didn't realize what he was doing with that team.
Spread, this is what I'm going to do. This is what the boys over there, I'm going to let my young boy get you. Go ahead, Cito, break it down to what we already told him last year about what was going to happen.
I thought. Basically, like Five been saying, the Houston fan base, well, the Houston Astros fan base, is they just janky. It's just something against that team. They hate the team. They root against them. They expecting to win. They can't win. And Minute Maid Park is hard. And whenever Dusty switched over, Five Star, we've been talking about the shift and, you know, everything within the new year. So I definitely thought it was time for a change. And he was all over the Astros. I'm like, Five Star, the universe and just the gambling gods and everything just going to show that Houston Astros team that Dusty Baker was a big, big part. So they're going to get swept to start out. And believe it or not, me and my VIP group, we had the Yankees, the sweet, the beautiful Houston Astros. And people finally starting to see what Dusty Baker meant to that team. Like just the leadership, you know, and just the energy, the aura that the man had around, you know, that team. People, they wanted to play for the man. And now Astros about to be looking like the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, don't forget our catcher. Don't forget our catcher, who they ran out of town as well, too, you know, because they wanted to let the young boy be the catcher, not realizing that baseball is a bigger game than just offense, you know. Yeah. So, what Maldonado did was get all the pitchers on the same page. He knew how to, you know, prepare for every batter. He was like the encyclopedia. One day, Maldi's going to be a manager, man. He's that type of talent when it comes to being able to know what these batters want to do and knowing these rosters, man. And he always called fabulous games, probably called the most no-hitters in Astros history, I'm sure, of one of the only no-hitters in World Series history. And, you know, you just got a major switch up, and it boils down to the Astros are basically dealing with the same thing the Yankees just went through. The Yankees have been horrible since the Jeter era, right? They've always came up short. And you know why it started? Because they were giving hell to their longtime manager, trying to run them out of town, always complaining. This back. Then they got on the next manager. It was never enough. And you know, same with the Dodgers fans. Entitled, always arrogant. We're all this. Get rid of Dave Roberts. Soon as the Astros got on that same type of vibe, now they're about to get the same type of results, because that's what made the Astros different from all the other teams who were known for winning. We didn't buy our team. All of our teams were homegrown, farm system, you know. Trades like for Jordan, but he was a baby when he came over there. He hadn't fully developed with the Dodgers. So the Astros were different amongst the other teams. Every other team you name that's in the top group of MLB teams that perform great every season, they buy their teams. The Astros never bought their team, man. They made it where they all their guys came from right there in-house. And now, man, it's the end of a dynasty, unfortunately. Joe Espada looks like a deer in headlights. I don't think that he's ready. The first game guys tweet, Joe Espada's, he's managing this game like it's the World Series. Bro, it's game one. That's the problem. And now you ran through all your pitchers. Like in game one, now your staff is already behind going into the week. So, oh, man, we're going to see, man. I just hope that the core of the group survives this. I hope a spotter has enough sense to call Dusty, you know, and talk to him and get some pointers on some things that he made mistakes on in his first series. Because as an Astros lifer, we've dominated the Yankees the last, you know, 5 years. This is real disappointing to let them come in the Minute Maid and sweep us like that, man.
Yeah, that was tough, man. Tough. And I definitely wasn't expecting that. But while we up in Houston, man, five star, let's talk about the Rockets, man. They finally lose.
Yeah, Luka put on the clinic. Did you watch the game?
I did. And they had nobody to answer Luka. 22 points in the first quarter. Me and my clients, we had, I'm sorry to say it, we had Dallas Mavericks minus one first quarter. Easy money. Yeah. I don't know what the hell was going on last night.
Just basketball. It was just their time to lose. They won 11 straight games. You're not gonna win every game. You know.
Yeah, but then both teams was going up in into the Toyota Center with a winning streak. So somebody had to lose.
Jalen Green was, you know, been on fire. It was his time. We know how Jason Kidd draws up defense, right? Spread. So we knew that Dallas was gonna play some good defense on him and try to take the ball out of his hand. What I take from it was a show by Luka, man, to kind of like put a stamp in the ground. Like I told you, everybody in the NBA amongst the players, the talk of the league is the Rockets. That's all everybody's talking about. It's how good the Rockets are about to be. Man, my boy Doak over there doing his thing. Jalen Green, a star. Like, Amen Thompson, a star. Sagoon hurt. They still going hard. He a star, too. So, like, they're the talk of the league. So, Luke is a real vendor, man. He's the Larry Bird of our time. Unfortunately for America, he came from another country. He's not American, but he's just like Larry Bird where he carries that chip on his shoulder. And he came in that arena last night to prove something. But I love to see what happens when the Rockets pull back up on him later on this week, Fred.
I want to downgrade the Rockets too much. Like you said, they were due for a poor performance, and they just ran into a steamroller. You look at Dallas, and the Nuggets are the class of the West, but if anyone's going to upset them, or if Jamal Murray doesn't get healthy, you got to think Dallas is one of the teams that's poised to take advantage. Now, I know that Oklahoma City and Minnesota have better regular season records, but I think with Luka and Kyrie Irving, Dallas really has a shot here to upset anyone, because in a close game where transition opportunities are going to be limited, their ability to create quality shots in the half court is pretty much unmatched. I mean, I think Phoenix is up there too, but Dallas has more depth, and I think that they can defend better. So don't look now. Dallas is live. Right now, I think my two dark horses out of each conference is I'm going to take Dallas out of the West, right, maybe to get an upset. And don't look now, but with Joel Embiid coming back, you can get a nice price on Philadelphia. Boston has shown themselves to be vulnerable. They're obviously the rightful favorite, but the price you can get on Philadelphia right now, there's some interesting long shots here in the NBA.
Hey, and Spread, I couldn't agree with you more, my brother. Like, and I just think it's time, like I said, for, you know, everything to shift, and everybody was like, Kyrie can't play with Luka, they're going to have problems. And if you start to look at it, man, all these EuroLeague players, they coming to the States and they're getting championships. Jokic got him one. Giannis got him one. It's time for Luka to get him one. And like you said, B got to get him one. Like, so I definitely feel those guys are going to step up and try to do something, you know, so they can get the lead shifted a little bit.
Yeah, those Euro players starting at age 14, and they're on teams, and they play once a day. And the goal is to win. They don't play four games in AAU where the goal is to put up a bunch of highlights and get a bunch of statistics. You need to earn your playing time early. And I think that's the difference right now in our developmental league. So, boy, I really hope this NIL convinces some of these players to stay in college longer. You look at some of these players, like Jalen Green, right?
Yeah.
It could be his rookie year right now. And I think that we'd have a much different attitude around him if he would have had some more development. As a 19, you know, he came in here at 19 years old. They put the whole weight of the franchise on him, and then people were kind of writing him off early. Well, the kid was 19 years old, playing in a league full of men. So hopefully we can get our development right here in America. But until then, Sino, you're right. We're going to take advantage, and we're going to bet on some of these Euro players who have been taught to win from a very young age.
I knew Kyrie was going to work, guys, and the reason why I knew he was going to work with Luke is because what people don't understand, Kyrie was smeared in the media. The reason he was acting the way he was in Cleveland is because LeBron was behind his back doing little shady stuff, man. So he was tired of it, so he was calling it out to the media, letting them know, like, man, I know what this dude doing, because we know LeBron controls the media, man. Like, he has his own little puppets in there. He's a very powerful guy. The reason he has so much power is because we know he's part owner of, you know, of a sports agency as well. That's his best friend. So they have all types of context in the media world. People kiss his butt because, of course, he's the biggest star on the planet in basketball, and they want to be in his favor. You know, and he's really used that a lot more than Michael Jordan ever have. So people have this bad things about Kyrie, but Kyrie's a really mellow dude, man, a really easy to going guy. You know, he's want to go home to his kids and his wife. He that type of dude because his dad raised him really correctly with a lot of morals and standards. Got in trouble for tweeting the move, and we know about that. That's the power structure, unfortunately, of the media that attacked him on that. But I had no issues with him going over there because, one, you got – I know that he doesn't own the team anymore, but he's still hands-on with everything. Mark Cuban is a really open-minded guy. He's real red on a lot of subjects. I knew that he was going to be the perfect, you know, go-through, even though he's not the main owner, the majority owner anymore. He's still the guy over there at Dallas. And I knew that he would have a way of, you know, making Kyrie feel at home with that organization, and he does. I knew that him and Luka would get – it was on Luka. After Luka got past the, you know, ego part, they've been friends ever since. They hang out. They do all types of stuff. And Kyrie has made sure to empower Luka by telling him, you're the guy. You know, you're the number one option. I'm a bit in the league. We know I can get mine when I want to. But, you know, Kyrie is low-key one of the most competitive guys in the league. Luka is for sure. He might be the most competitive guy in the league that has a chip on his shoulder. When they get in the playoffs, they're going to be trouble, man. Jason Kidd is a really good coach. We know from his playing days that he's a really, you know, smart guy, you know, has a really high IQ, and he puts defense first. So Dallas is going to be a tough out there. The top four in the West for me are Dallas, the Clippers, Phoenix, and Denver. And the thing
what?
About
yeah, hold on, I'm about to interrupt you. How you don't have Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves up there?
I love them. They're too young. Them and OKC, they're too young. In the playoffs, they're not going to do anything, you know. And I love AE. Soon he's going to run the playoffs. But right now at this point, he's not going to get it done. Him or SGA. They're going to fall to these veterans. They might lose. Either one of them might lose to the Lakers if they get the series with them. You know? Because they're just they're babies, man. You know, they got more games to play. They're not going to get the call. Especially SGA. Now, and like Luka, his game doesn't matter. He can play playoff game. He can play regular season. He know how to play through fouls. He's not crying, you know? Luka does a bunch of whining, but he also plays through the fouls with his game. Whereas in SGA, he's going to be just like the problems Harden had. He's not going to get any whistles in the playoffs. I don't even take them seriously. I think that OKC is like their kids right now. They're pushing people, but they won't win. They're not a threat. I feel like these four teams are the threat. The most of all, the Nuggets, because we know they're the defending champions, if they have Murray back. If Jamal Murray's not there, they might lose the first round. Jokic is great, but you got to have Murray as the closer over there. It's been like that for years. But they have a really good coach with a chip on his shoulder, too, and Coach Malone. He really wants to stick it to the league and win back-to-back because he feels like the league's against them. Secondly, I would probably go with Phoenix just because KD and you on Suns before the season, Cino. Yep, KD is coming into form. Booker's always a killer. And then the main key to this whole team is now Bradley Beal is healthy. So those guys are one to look at. I don't trust their coach, though. Clippers, I love their coach. I think Ty Lue is a great postseason coach. Three-headed monster over there. Which Harden do we get? Because he's going to have to quarterback because we know that PG-13, Kyrie, they're big-time players, but everything's still going to go through Harden, and Ty Lue wants it that way. So which Harden do we get in the playoffs? But we know that all three of those guys can step up. And then the Mavericks, because we got two guys that we know can get it done. When you need a basket out of all of those teams, the best two are the Suns and the Mavericks. Honestly, right. When you just right. need a basket when it gets down to it in the NBA. So this is going to be a real good playoffs, guys.
And to jump on your Minnesota point, the reason I can't believe in them is because I think Rudy is a top five or maybe the best defender during the regular season when the game plan is like three or four different plays, right? Mm-hmm. But once you start taking the day off in between games and you specifically game plan to make him less effective on the defensive end, namely by bringing him out of the paint, we've seen in Utah how he goes from being this awesome defender to being kind of a guy that they target because you go small and you bring him out of the paint and it takes away what he does best, and that's protect the rim. So it's really on him this year to prove that he can be effective in the playoffs, but until I see it, I can't believe it. And so that's why I think I kind of agree with you. Same thing with OKC, another great regular season team. Are they going to be able to get the rebound that you need in order to win in a playoff series, right? That's my main concern with that team. They're so great during the regular season when you're catching teams that are tired, and you can get away with playing that fastball and playing a lot of transition game. When there's no transition involved and they're going to have to win in the half court, I'm still worried that they're going to be able to grab those necessary defensive rebounds. So I have those same concerns for the top two in the West, Minnesota and OKC, the up-and-coming ones. But hey, I mean, I would not be surprised if either of them was able to pull it out. But until I see it, I can't back it with my money.
Right.
I agree with both of you guys on that, but I definitely think those young teams will make a push. I don't think they're going to win the championship right now. It's too young. And, you know, SGA or Ant Edwards winning the title before Jason Tatum, that doesn't even make sense in the NBA. But we get back on that later, man. Five star, let's get in the pass, man. We got some work to do.
Yeah.
Well, you called a whole bunch of different things, big brother. Yeah. Money lines. Five star, but... UConn, they dominated the East. Moves on Illinois, game before this one, big, and then we swapped over. They jumped on that one. What you thought about that? What you seen?
Man, Illinois, we won a lot of money, Spread and I, Andrew, on Iowa State.
Yes, but on all of us.
UConn game, man, he was drinking the Terrence Shannon juice, and it was tasting lovely. And then somebody sent that boy a PayPal or a Venmo. Look, I don't even understand what Illinois was doing. If you watch that game against UConn, this team was one of the most high-powered offenses all season. And I know UConn plays defense. We know all of that. But come on, man. They weren't running into stuff that would have neutralized Clemson. They let Clemson take over the game. This man hadn't been a factor in like 2-3 games. They allowed him to dominate the game. Like, let him just sit in the paint and just camp there and just wait for people to drive and block it. They didn't have any, they didn't do any pick and rolls with Shannon and Domas together like they were doing early in the season. Shannon just was sitting in the corner. I was like, what is this? What's going on? And then, you know, it was a lot of controversy the day before because he's been playing so well. He doesn't come to the press conferences because they're trying to keep him quiet because what's going on legally. I think that Underwood was under the pressure from everything that was going on, kind of like Nate Oates was last year at Alabama. Was kind of glad that this season is over with. You know, he knew that he had a chance. He rode as far as he could go, but I think that they're kind of glad it's over with and that all the spotlight that they're getting. Shannon does a great job. We'll see him in the NBA next year. Best of luck to him on everything that happened with his court case. And also, you know, we have to have, mercy for the victim. We don't know what exactly happened, so... not saying that we side with them. We don't know the details of it, but still, I don't want anyone to go to jail if they don't have to. You know? So the best of luck to him. Hopefully he stays free and he can go and have a great NBA career. UConn is a baby dynasty. We'll see if they can get it done and go back-to-back for the first time since Florida with that team that they had with all of those great future NBA pros under Billy Donovan. So Tristan Newton is under... appreciated. No one talks about him because since it's all American, I've never heard anybody say anything about him in the NBA. Transferred from UTEP, 6'5". He's the engine that makes that team go. You got future NBA player Stephen Castle around him. You got Cam Spencer, who just is a big-time player. Hurley really has a really good assistant over there, probably the best assistant in basketball. I don't know why he won't leave and go run his own program because he's really the one that Hurley leans into. For all of his information. He's pretty much the coach on the court as well because he's the one that does a lot of interaction with the players. But really, just they built the machine over there. Good job by UConn to see if they can go back-to-back.
All right, five-star. So next game, we had Purdue. They got straight through the Midwest. They survived Tennessee. What was it, dog fight in the first half? I think they went down by like 9 or 10. They had to fight their way back into the game. I had Purdue first half. Don't know how we covered that. Second half, they made the adjustments in. They did what they had to do. What you seen in that one, Five?
Man, Big Zach Eadie is one of the best players to ever play college basketball. It's time for us to go and give it up, man. It's time to give it up for him. When it comes to college hoops, he's one of the best we've seen, man. You know, like, we know he's a giant and all those things there, but he's not just a big for nothing dude out there. He's like Yamin, whereas, and he can really play, man. That kid can play, and now I'm starting to think he might get some run in the NBA. At first, I thought he might not, but I think some people are going to try him and kind of let him use him like how they use Rudy Gobert. He's better than Rudy as far as, his offense. So maybe Zach Edey can bring back the big man to the NBA, but he does a great job. Like I told you, I was really surprised when I ran my numbers before that game because I was thinking at first about Tennessee. Then, of course, the next thing I think about is Rick Barnes. And I'm like, I don't bet Rick Barnes. It's Pierce. So now let me look at Purdue. I go through all of their stats, get the crunch of their numbers, and I was pleasantly surprised to find out that Purdue was the most battle-tested team in the tournament. And you kind of forget because, you know, things happen where, you know, time goes by, months, and you just kind of remember the last time you saw them. And in the Big Ten, especially during the second half of it, even though they won the Big Ten title, they kind of struggled a little bit. You know, they had some teams upset them, you know, dealt with, some not covering some spreads and things like that. But, man, when you look past that, everything about this Purdue team says that they're the best team in the country, even better than UConn, because they played better competition, man. They've beaten some really good teams. They're 9-1 in their last 10, man. And as I said earlier in the year before the Big Ten season started, they beat some teams like Tennessee, Gonzaga, Arizona, Xavier, Duke. You name it, they beat them. So North Carolina, they beat North Carolina, not Duke, they beat North Carolina. Like, Purdue has really played well in their biggest games of the season, man. And I just look forward to watching them play in the Final Four, man. It's going to be exciting. The key to their offense is Braden Smith, the point guard. Sophomore, that kid can go, man. And the thing, his stats go, you don't really see him. You might see him up a little bit in assists, but it's his leadership and getting him into good plays. The biggest play yesterday, a lot of people didn't see it, but you know how I am about film, Cino. The game's tied. No, I think they're up one. Remember, Tennessee made a late run and got the game back close. It was really tight for about 2 minutes. Yeah, but it was tight, and I had -4.5 live, 3.5 for the game. So I'm sick. I'm like, man, this is about to be like a one-point game. The biggest play of that game was right here. They're tied up. They're doubling in the offense that they're showing. Jones is on the same side of Braden Smith. That's the shooter for them, the kid, number 55. All he does is shoot. He's a senior. He moves him. He sees the spot for him, Zeno, and he says, no, get off this side and go to the other corner. When he moves him, if you see on the film, when he moves him, he does a pump fake to Edie like he's going to him down to the post, swings it to Jones. Jones wide open. He rattled in that three-pointer. Purdue never lost the lead after that. But after that, that's the type of stuff that, you know, you don't see unless you're really watching the game within the game. And their point guard is amazing, man. He's a really good player to be so young, man. And I can't wait. Even though I hate it, I don't want to see it. If Purdue and UConn play each other, it'll be really exciting. You know, it'll be a great matchup. I want the other teams that each one of them are playing to win. But if we get Purdue versus UConn, that's going to be an exciting watch because you got the two giants going against each other. That's going to be good.
Hey, that's going to be crazy. And there you go. He came back just in time. Spread. We was on Bama. They surprised the whole West, like, for real. They get to their first Final Four after beating Clemson 5. What you seen in this game after watching Bama? They tough, man.
Man, I mean, we were kind of concerned about Bama coming in. I remember I brought them up, and you guys were like, they're not rolling. And boy, you know, they got things going at the right time. My question is, how are they going to fare now against the very best that college basketball has to offer? I think this might be the end of their story, but do you think that I'm counting them out a little too quickly?
You're counting them out too quickly. One of the best trends we got going for this weekend. Do you guys know that it's only been 4 times that it's been a double-digit dog in the Final Four? Only 4 times out of the whole years that the Final Four has been going on and betting has been, you know, going with it. No favorite cover. The dog covered every time.
That's
all
4
double digits.
That's,
and I think they won outright twice. I think they won outright twice.
Oh, I got to go look at this. We betting some numbers now, baby.
I mean, UConn has covered every game so far, right?
Yeah, every game. Yeah.
So I can see why they put
every
it
game.
And
it could be 90% of the public on it. It don't
every
matter.
Game. Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I think they did the last.
They're a real deal. They're the real
last
deal.
Last March Madness tour, I think they covered every game. They cutting it back.
NC State made us a lot of money. They made us a lot of money, man. SC State made us a lot of money. I gave about a plus 1300 to win the South. I said I wanted Houston to win a plus 130, but if they did, remember we had it in our pocket.
Yeah.
NC State plus 1300, and how fate would have it, man, we took a bad shot, man. Shout out my Houston Cougars. Shout out Coach Kelvin Sampson. We hope that Shed is getting better, man. The whole heart of that team was cut out. We blaming you, Drake. We know that Drake is the jinx that brought it. Drake gave him a jacket, man, an OVO jacket or something. They gave him a Houston jersey, and you knew it, bro. We was finished after that. Him and Mattress Mack. And Mattress Mack went and put like 500K on him to win the national championship. Right, they were through after that. So they get the worst look ever, and Shed gets hurt. But after Shed gets hurt, it kind of opens up the bracket for me because I was telling people, you saw it, see those spread. People was hitting me, at me like, man, you're not going to hedge it? Like, Duke. Man, they about to play Duke. I say, oh, you crazy? They about to beat the hell out of Duke, and that's exactly what they did.
First half, though, five star for like what I seen, they was having some troubles. Looking like, I definitely thought they were gonna be in a dog fight, and then the line was kind of tight second half. So I'm like, if this team have a chance to win, and those adjustments, man, those adjustments, five star, you was so right about that. I salute you, big brother. You was right about that one.
Well, Kevin Keats is underrated. Super good coach. Like NBA level coaching. Then you have what people don't really look at. Defense still matters. That's why UConn's so good. They shut you down on defense, man. Purdue outscores people. But UConn, they shut you down on defense. NC State plays the best perimeter defense in college basketball. Those guys get after you on the perimeter. And then the emergence of Muhammad Diarra is what really put them over the top. When they were able to start going to DR and Middlebrooks, that kid played his butt off too. And were able to sub the big guy and let the big guy, DJ Burns, get rest and not have to, you know, just use him for offense, kind of, you know, spot play him. That's when they took off and went to another level because you already got Casey Morcell on the wing playing the best man-to-man defense. Whoever your shooter is, he's going to take him out the game. He's going to get under his skin. He's going to run around. And Marcel is a shooter, man. He's a three-point shooter to play. He really gives up his offense now and concentrates on defense. You got McConnell, the transfer from Stanford. I told you he was going to be like a quarterback for them. He did a really good job all year for them. He's the unheralded hero. They're not here without McConnell. He's the miracle three-pointer against Virginia, you know, to keep them going, and they haven't looked back since. Those guys are just playing ball. They always had the roster. It was just they had a bad little part of the season in the ACC, which is very easy to do. And now they found themselves again, man. Really veteran team. Shout out Muhammad Diarra. He's a believer. He's a Muslim. He was fasting yesterday. If you look at all his stats before, we've been riding. Remember, I was telling you guys to take points plus rebounds every game. He's been over 8.5 points, over 11.5 rebounds, literally the last month of the season. But he's been fasted since about Ramadan's been going about 3 weeks. All of the prior games were in the evening. They were working out the schedule. It was working out for him, so they were playing at night. So he's already broken his fast, eating something, got some IVs before this today. Last night, nothing. Yesterday, excuse me. It was a daytime game. They started in the day. So he was so winded and so tired and trying to give effort, but he didn't have all his energy because he had no food, no water in him, man. So shout out to that kid for, you know, sacrificing for his belief system, man, and still going out and showing up for his team, man. That's an unbelievable effort by him. DJ Burns, the big man, is outstanding. He's probably got the most swag in the NCAA right now. He's making all types of money off his merch. He's doing it big right now. His GIF is my favorite. literally on X right now. Right, he turned up. Yeah, rocking. The gas is but on, did you guys know, I want everybody that's watching the show, including you guys who are part of the show, go Google DJ Burns when he was in high school. Bro, he's overweight right now. He needs to get back his weight. He's been overeating, and Kevin Keats just knows how to use him properly. This kid came out of, he went to Tennessee at first, and then ended up transferring from there to Winthrop. Man, he was lightning quick. He played like Michael Beasley. He didn't even play like he wasn't back to the bubble type of player. He was that size and slim and had handles, step back. Go check him out, man. If he slims up, he's going to be able to play in the NBA. He got to get that weight off him so he can get his quickness back because he was really quick if you go check him out in high school and his freshman year of college.
I'll have to check that out because he carries that weight like he's been carrying it his whole life.
A long time.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy. He looks like a refrigerator now, but he really was not that type of guy, man. He put on that weight. He's eating, overeating. He needs to lose some weight, man, if he want to play on the next level. You know what I'm saying? I could tell he's enjoying himself. You know, so, yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. But if he want to take it to the next level and, you know, really reach his potential, he's going to have to cut some weight, man. He cut some weight, we're going to see him in the NBA. But overall, man, NC State, I saw it from the beginning, man, and the ACC developing, man. I'm just glad we were able to get it home. And hopefully everybody cashed with us, man, and got that plus 1,300 and hit some of those plus 250s that I gave out on the games. They have been a real money-making.
You have some racks, man.
Yeah.
Five-star. Yeah. Usually do this, but it's my turn. Let's hop into 1981 Cutlass, man. And let's jump into the present.
All right.
It's ladies' night, big brother.
Yeah.
Hey, I think this is like one of the biggest nights in a long time for just women's sports.
Biggest. It's the biggest.
I was like, bro, Ali versus Frazier, the women's basketball. And I took that one from you. I had to, because that make a lot of sense, man. We got Iowa versus LSU.
Yep.
Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese.
Yep.
It's going down. What you see in that game, big brother? Break it down for us, please.
Man, this is going to be a clash of cultures. And that's why I call it Ali Frazier, guys, because if I wasn't around at the time, but I'm a sports historian, and so I was very intrigued because my grandfather liked boxing a lot, so I used to watch ESPN History, like I always talk about, ESPN Classic, excuse me. You know, we all benefited from that, right? That used to be the show. You could just, you know, turn on and find anything you want, look the program. That showed the whole fight of what was going on. I watched a lot of documentaries leading up to that about Ali and about Frazier and what was going on. It just intrigued me because I was a big Ali guy, even though, you know, he was way past my time as far as I never saw him fight live. What I learned from that is that Ali and Frazier were friends the whole time. You like, they were cool, they respected each other, they used to hook up, link up. Frazier gave him the fight, one of the fights, in order to help Ali get back into fighting after they kind of banned him from fighting because what happened with him not, you know, wanting to go to war and the Vietnam War and stuff. So, and practicing his religious beliefs not to do so. What happened is, they had it where it was a culture clash. You had the guys who felt like they were hardworking and did everything right. They loved Frazier. And all the people who felt like they were the new age, would turn the page, this is how things are going to go. It's a new day. They liked Ali. You know, the people on that side of Frazier said Ali was a big mouth. They couldn't stand him because he talked too much. The people on Ali's side said that Frazier was boring. We got the same thing going on right here, and these ladies know it. They're friends. They probably talk to each other all the time. They've already both said that they're cool with each other. But for them and their teams, it's beneficial to make it a culture war because they're getting paid off every click. They're getting paid off of all of us talking about it. These, you know, like they always do, they divide the country and make money, man. We're all wise enough to see what's going on, but a lot of people are too blind to care. So you got to turn to, it's a white-black thing. It's a culture clash thing. It's a, I like this type of person thing. I like this type of person thing. And it turns into a lot of money for the people that are the participants and creates a lot of emotions from the consumers and the fans. And that's what we have tonight, man. It's, you know, it's going to be war. You got, you know, Iowa freestyling team, run great offense, play old school basketball with the old way that you play women's college basketball, sharing the ball, open shots. One really special player is Caitlin Clark, who's like the peak Maravich of women's basketball. She can do everything, man. She can shoot, she can pass. She does take some bad shots, but end of the day, she always gets that team in the right position to score. And they have some really underrated girls around her. I worry about them, just like last year, being able to deal with LSU athletically. LSU is like a WNBA team. Like, they almost like the Vegas Aces when you look at how their setup is, man. So, I like LSU. I know the refs are going to get involved, and it's going to be a lot of politics in this one. But end of the day, I just don't think Angel Reese and Flanjay allow LSU to lose. Their legacies are on the line. They said that they're the Beatles of women's basketball. They said that they're the best to be the best. You got to win championships. They're going to have to win it again in order to make the claim that they're trying to make. But the two of the biggest names you've ever seen in basketball. Caitlin Clark, they had her own camera on Fox, following around doing the whole game. Angel Reese has almost 3 million people following her on Instagram. Can you imagine the type of check she's getting in social media, you know what I mean? And then not to count all the NIL money she has. She has so much NIL money. And I want to address one thing before I swing it to you, Spread, and get your opinion on this game as far as what do you think how it's going to play out tonight. It's a lot of people that are attacking Angel Reese because she supposedly told some assistant coach, stay in your place. No, watch your mouth. She told her, watch your mouth. When people have their mind made up to dislike you, they don't care about the whole story, right? They say, oh, she's a kid talking to an adult like that. For one, this assistant coach, I went and looked up. She's 25. And she probably was talking a whole bunch of mess from the bench because a lot of these young assistant coaches do that. We've seen them, I always picture like, I can't believe these coaches. It's a guy shooting from the 3-point line Spread near their bitch. They're standing up clapping and hollering. What are you doing? You know, like, you're not supposed to. If the players do that, you can understand, right? But assistant coaches are not supposed to do that. But my point is they're getting younger and younger with these coaches. But Angel Reese is 21, about to be 22 in May. She's a grown woman that makes more money as assistant coach. Yeah, so what does money have to do with it? It has to do with a lot because what do you do in life when you're an adult? Is earn money. What else do we have to do? You be a good person, you earn money. Be a good citizen, you earn money. That's what you're supposed to do. So she's made her way in life. She's been very successful at a young age. So that automatically is going to carry with her a type of pride and dignity that she has about herself. We don't know what this lady said to her. But let's stop acting like she was talking to a 50-year-old grandmother and the grandma just like was walking by the grocery line and actually hit her with the cart. She turned around and was like, what are you doing? You know, like, it's nothing like that, man. They were going back and forth already, you know? So this is all I ask. Let's move further with everybody. Let's stop having these prejudgments, pre-notions, and hey, if you like somebody like me, Caitlin Clark, I don't like a lot of stuff she does on the court. But it doesn't stop me from respecting the type of player she is. I'll never just go and talk about her bad on it because guess what? She's a phenomenal player. The numbers show her. She's broken every record. I don't like her yelling to the crowd, shut the F up, and using the real words. Like, her and Angel Reese are peas in a pod. That's my point, what I'm trying to say. So you can't hate one and love the other. They're the same person. They're both women who are millionaires right now, already in college from social media and the new world we live in. And that, at that young age, they're going to carry a type of arrogance with them naturally because that's who makes them who they are, their ability to believe in self. So let's just kind of be fair. These are still young women growing, becoming, you know, adults. So even though they're 20, they're still kids, man, and maturing and think about our brains. So let's just be patient with them and let's just appreciate these women. Let's appreciate the night, man. This is a big thing for women's college basketball tonight.
And if you want to use the Ollie Frazier comparison, I think it's apt. But I'd also like to throw out there for another historical one, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, and the way that they just raised the visibility of basketball on both levels. First in 1979 when they faced off in the NCAA tournament, and then the rivalry took place on the next stage, and it went from NBA five-star. Cino won't remember.
Yeah.
NBA Finals used to be on tape delay.
Right.
What? Bro, it used to come on at 10 p.m. Because they didn't want to bump, you know, cheers and all the other stuff.
Before George and them, it was the cocaine league.
Yeah.
They were all coke dealers. Everybody in the league sold coke. Mitchell Wiggins, Andrew Wiggins' dad.
Yeah.
He was the biggest coke dealer in Houston, one of them.
Yeah. And here's why I know I make that comparison. So yesterday, Easter Sunday, go over to my family's house and I walk in and I expect to see on my dad's TV what he's watching, either the Purdue game or the Miami Open, because he's a big tennis fan, right?
Right.
I walk in, he's watching the women's basketball. And he's like, this is great. This is great level entertainment. And I'm really digging it. And he couldn't wait to watch the game tonight. And I've never seen him watch women's basketball before in my life. So that shows me that these two women and their rivalry is doing the same thing for women's basketball that Bird and Magic did for college basketball in the NBA in the late 70s and the early 80s.
Yes, definitely, man. What do you think from basketball point of view? Have you watched the both teams this year, Spread?
No, I'm not handicapping it. I will take your pick. I've not. I mean, I've watched the highlights and I've seen games of Clark and Reese because I think they're both fun. But as far as me actually being able to break it down, I can't do it. I'm going to take your pick, and I'm just going to enjoy this game tonight because, you know, we do this long enough to know we earn these edges, right? I'm not arrogant enough to think that I can just jump in and pick up a sport
right
off watching a couple games. So I'm going to
follow
right.
You you're guys. Real better.
Yeah, it's going to be great, and I'm glad that it's unopposed tonight, too. The NBA schedule is terrible. I think everybody's going to be tuning into this tonight.
Yeah, NBA.
Cino, break it down. You're from that area of the world.
Let's get on that level. Shout out to that Raggedy. Shout out LSU. Shout out Southern. Shout out that whole area. And I just put it like this. It's really no break it down. It's just a mentality thing, man. These girls, they built different. Like, when they huddle up, they say 1, 2, 3, beat that ass. Like,
that
before they play a team. Like, you know, it's just that mentality, that confidence that you have to have. And if you follow me on X, I'm one of those type of people. I have a lot of confidence in whatever I do because I know I put the work in, so I'm not going to fall short. But if I do fall short, I'm satisfied with the results. Why? Because I put the work in. And that's what I feel about Angel Reese and his LSU team tonight. They have the weight of the world on their back. They got a monkey on their back. Shout out to Harrison Kingston. They somewhere up in here. And have to show up. They have to do what they have to do. And it's a rematch. Again, the refs going to be involved. It's a lot of money going to be bet on this game. You guys are going to see some stuff you probably never seen before. But a lot of emotions going to be taking place. But I think those girls on that U side, they're going to step up and bring it home. And again, I love energy. I love physicality. LSU got all that. Caitlin Clark, I have to show up. Those threes, they don't have to fall tonight. That's all I can say.
Yeah, she has a good team around her. I just think that they're going to have some problems athletically dealing with LSU. Angel has to keep her hands high. She has to show the ref her hands because they're going to be looking to blow a quick whistle on her. So she's going to have to keep her hands up, man.
That's the thing.
Yeah, I have to add, if I was Coach Mulkey, if it was anything that I could preach, and I can't tell her anything, because Coach Mulkey was a baller playing at Louisiana Tech and knows more basketball than I ever, learned in her life. You know, she won at Baylor, won at LSU, just a, Hall of Fame coach that's going through a lot of stuff right now. She has, the smear campaign going on. Washington Post put out a really bad article about her, man. And I know those girls love her, man. I always like Mookie's style. I like how she comes out there with the suits on and stuff because she's a Louisiana girl. But like you said, they move a little bit different. She, got a real strong will and, a really strong opinion about stuff. And I know one thing, she's put together a team over there that's one for the age. So we'll see how it goes. And I hope, like I said, she preaches to Angel tonight to show her hands because they're going to be looking to get her involved to them, get out the game quick. And shout out, to everyone out the booth, man, throwing those L's, man. Let's try to get it home tonight, man. Me and Cino come from a personal, place with this because we LSU guys. We love LSU, man. So we're looking that they get it done tonight. A really good team. It's another game going on too, Cino.
Of course. How we could forget that one, man? We got Paige and Juju. That's going to be another good one. We got UConn -3.5 versus the USC. What you think about this one? I kind of think this line wrong, but hey, what do I know? I don't watch
USC should be favored. USC I agree. Favored.
At least my number says should be a pick. My number says should be a pick.
Yeah, it should be a pick. It's based on UConn's pass, and they better be careful because USC is 7-1 against the spread. It's 3.5-point underdog.
Oh, that's all I needed to hear, 5-star.
Yeah, they 7-1 under, man. Now, 8 times as money line underdogs, they've won 5 times. So they're hitting at 63% wins when they're the dog. So I'm going to be on USC, man. I look at Juju Watkins like she's Maya Moore reincarnated, man. We've been waiting for a player like her. We've got that type of height, type of athleticism that can shoot the ball, just play the game right, but then add to her own flair with her being, such a good all-around player, man. She's something else, man. Only a freshman. Glad that Paige is back, for UConn. She had a horrific injury. She's a baller, too. She averaged 27 a game, but I think Uriema's time is over. teams are really hyped now when they had a squad to play with UConn now. And they can't wait to smack them because we know UConn dominated for so many years. And they rubbed a lot of people wrong in women's basketball with, you know, the way they did it when they were on top. Me personally, I'm going to be on the Trojans on this game at plus 140, man. I got to take it, man. They've won 5 times out of 8 when they've been a dog with at least plus 140. And I'm going to have to rock with them again, man. I'll be on the Trojans.
I'm with you on that 5-star. I take the points also because I like that stat you put out there. So, you know, if they lose within a bucket, it's a free shot.
7-1. Yeah, 7-1. 5-3 straight up.
7 against the spread. I'm definitely taking a shot on that. I give that one out to my clients too. They don't have a chance to watch this episode. But 5-star, let's jump into the NIT on Tuesday. Indiana State, -2.5 versus Utah. What you think about this game? That's a small number.
This is going to be a good one. Indiana State has a real advantage. They're going to have a lot of fans there. Now, we know Utah got money, so they travel well out of Salt Lake City. We know for being here in Vegas, they got that bag in Salt Lake City. You know, like the Mormon group, they really travel well for their teams. And I know that Utah should have some fans there, but, man, Indiana State is going to take that place off. You know, you guys, that they moved the NIT after being in New York for years. Something happened with them. In Madison Square Garden and, you know, James Dolan, where they ended the contract. So this year it's in Indiana. It's in Indianapolis. So Indiana State have a great advantage. I'll probably look to the over on this game. Both these teams can fill it up. I think it's pretty high. It's like 160 or something like that. Huh?
I see 163.5.
Yeah,
I think it's going up. I think they get to it,
Spread. Yeah. I think they get to it. I think it's a 95-90 type of game. The only problem is how they play the first half, because I would probably hold off, guys, if you're trying to, you know, get a playoff. This for me, hold off. A lot of time teams start a little bit nervous. Indiana State especially starts slow. I would like Utah probably first half in this game, and second half I like the over, because that's how they usually play, where, you know, it gets wide open in the second half for them and they really push the tempo. But Utah's a good team, man. They can really shoot the ball well. Indiana State can shoot the ball well. I think they both fill it up. I've been leaning the over, but guys, play second half over, not for the full game. I like the second half over, man.
All right, 5-star. So you watch them a lot. That means they come out pumping up in the second half. And we got Seton Hall, -4. What you think about them? They playing Georgetown?
Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh, they playing Georgia.
Yeah. Georgia's been playing good, man. Georgia just pulled off an upset. Who did they upset?
Ohio State.
Ohio State, they upset. But before that, they upset Villanova, I want to say, in the NIT. They've been on the road the whole time, I want to say. I don't think
they beat Xavier.
It was Wade Xavier.
Morris, Wade and then Ohio State.
Look, that's a gauntlet, man. That's a gauntlet. And all the time they were on the road. Those are good places. Those are really tough places to win at, man. So, good job over there. They got one of my favorite coaches, Coach White. He originally was at Louisiana Tech, and then from Louisiana Tech, when he had them really balling, he went to Florida for a little while, and now he's with Georgia. He used to play basketball, I think, for Georgia. And he's a good coach, man. Georgia didn't get into the tournament this year, and a lot of teams like theirs, they take this NIT serious. NIT is really becoming a lot better tournament than it's been in the past. And you have a lot of big programs that I'm sure that the tournament organizers aren't mad at all about the 4 teams that they have. 4 solid programs. I just still like Seton Hall. If they had been in New York, I'd have been on Seton Hall all day. But I think Seton Hall wins this tournament. Seton Hall is a good team. If they care to play, which I know that their coach Holloway is going to always make them care, because he's going to get on their butts. That's one thing. He's a tough little dude, man. He's going to make sure that they play hard. And they got probably the best player that's left in the NIT, Kadari Richmond, man. He's a really good player, point guard, about 6'6". He will definitely play in the NBA. I don't know if he sticks, but he'll definitely get there. So I'll be on Seton Hall -4. I know Georgia's been playing really well. I know the public's going to be all the way with me. But still, I just think Seton Hall wins this one.
Trent's helping out Georgia here. Georgia 13-4 on the road or neutral against the spread. They're also 11-4. As a road underdog.
So. They've been fire on the road, Spread. That's what I'm telling you. They've been fire.
And Seton Hall only 5-10 Against the spread on the road.
Last time we gave our team, how they didn't show up.
They didn't show up. So you guys pause on that. When I got the info from my guys, it's telling me that you guys get a pause put tweet, you guys. All three of us will send out a tweet before the game. Let's see what more.
I see another thing too though, right here. Look, as a money line favorite this year, Seton Hall Pirates, they 7-1. And the Bulldogs, they 5-12 as a money line underdog. So that's some good info.
Yeah, my numbers were against the spread. We'll see if this ends up being a close one.
So
also, a lot lower total in this game, so the points might matter more. In that Utah game, we're sitting at 163.5. This game's down to 145.5. So points might be a little more valuable here in the Seton Hall, Georgia game.
Might come down to a bucket, spread. Might come down to a bucket.
I come down to a bucket. All right, you know what time it is. Now it's time to get off into the bottom parlay. Go first, Brent.
All right. Like I said, a perfect night for the ladies because if you're a basketball fan, the only game to me that's really worth tuning into will be the Phoenix Suns traveling to the New Orleans Pelicans.
I agree.
Unfortunately, don't have a play in that one. Leaning towards the under. Numbers like the over, but just from watching these teams lately, I think the under is the right side there. But I do not think that's the best board on the best bet on the NBA board tonight. My favorite bet is actually the Brooklyn Nets versus the Indiana Pacers, and I'm taking the over in that game. Brooklyn's going to be a tired team, and I know they do have players that can play defense. But with all this fatigue and going against the pace of the Indiana Pacers, I think we see a high-scoring game in that one. Not to mention, right after the All-Star break, we had an incredible run of unders, which has pushed the market down. And we know that not only is it just watching these teams, scouting these teams, we're scouting the market as well. And we know that, right, the books are going to adjust. They've seen a bunch of unders. They've lowered the total. And I think now's the time we bring it back. I like the over 227 in the Nets and the Pacers.
Yeah. I'm going to ride with spread. He's lean. I love this total right here. It opened up at 225. It's at 223.5 right now on MGM. So I take the under in the Suns and the Pelicans game. They've been playing some real, real slow basketball. Pelicans played against another powerhouse team. Was it the Boston Celtics? They didn't score nowhere over 200 points. I think it'll be the same thing tonight. And they also know nobody's going to be watching them. So why am I to run back and forth all night and, you know, to try to entertain you guys? So we rolling with under 223.5. I buy it up under 224 in the Pelicans and the Suns game.
I think that I like that one too. Cino. The reason I'm going against my numbers there, Cino, unlike some of these other games, we have two teams that are about equally ranked in my power rankings that are going for a playoff spot. And we know what that means. Playoff atmosphere equals unders. Watch how much these totals drop from the last week of the season to the opening day of the playoffs, because running numbers ain't going to help you, because these numbers are going to drop about 10, 12 points, and they're still going to go under. So playoff atmosphere to me equals under or pass. I'm going to be with you there. So we'll go over with the Nets Pacers, right? The Nets kind of done for the season here. Pacers just getting ready for the playoffs. But the best game, give me the under here. I agree with you on that Suns Pelicans number.
Let's go. What you got for us, Five?
My following parlay, I got to ride with, I like LSU. You know that. So we'll probably be on the money line. But my biggest bet tonight, I'm going to put about 5 units on, is on Haley Van Lillis going under 11.5 points. She's been scoring under double digits, man, the last 3 games. She's a really good player. It was a big-time transfer when she came over from Louisville, but man, she's kind of getting swallowed up by this team with all the different stars on there. She doesn't get a lot of looks, especially as Florence Jay has really stepped forward and kind of they start running the offense more through her in the half court set. She's only getting shots on kickouts, you know, and she has to hit her threes in order to get over there. So if she hits 4 threes, she beats us, but otherwise, I don't think so. I think most of her points come in garbage time, maybe if they put her in to shoot free throws. She's a high free throw percentage shooter, shooting over 83%. But I think at 11.5, it's just going to be hard for her to get to that number. And another thing that she's dealing with is the pressure of the interview she just did. She's been all over national news about her speaking about she felt that her team just handled really badly, and that a lot of the articles that are coming out from national press are racist. And she spoke in particular about the article that came out, I think, in the LA Times, when they, of course, were taking up to UCLA and, you know, bashing the LSU team really bad. And that's kind of motivated LSU to win that one. That was a really good game, and they were able to separated at the end. But I think a lot of pressure right now is on Hailey Van Lillard. I think that she's going to have to deal with that. A lot of, you know, press in her face before the game and after the game. A lot of people who don't like her because it's hard when you're on one side and you're kind of telling the truth about what's going on. We're supposed to be on their side, you know. So I think she's going to feel some pressure tonight. I think she goes under 11.5 points. Man, it's always great to be in here with you guys. It's always us versus the machine. This is now episode 25 since we started the radio series. But as I said, me and Fred have done hundreds of shows. It's always right here on our YouTube channel. As always, man, I dedicate this show to the greatest Houston sports fan that I know, to walk the earth, and that's my father, John H. Menzie. I do this for you, Dad. Hey, we got a lot going on this week. It don't stop after football season for us. We keep grinding. We do this as pros. We're respected bettors. Anything for the people before we got this spread?
No, man, I was definitely excited to get some winners for you guys there. On the college, and I'm looking forward. NBA playoffs are almost here. I know people look forward to it, and it's better as a fan, but as a wagerer or a bettor, it can be a little more tricky. So I can't wait to dive in, and it's fun because there'll be a little influx of public money, five-star, and you know, like, we like to go against that. So maybe it'll make it a little bit easier when all eyes turn to the National Basketball Association. And I've been dipping my toes here in some Major League Baseball betting. So we'll see how that goes, and we'll see if I have this model fine-tuned by the middle of the summer. But that's what that's what I'm hoping and expecting is, you know, kind of teaching myself a new sport. But if there's any sport that you can kind of model, I think it's baseball because it has the biggest sample size.
Definitely want to get with Ceno. Ceno has a really good baseball mind.
Yeah, we were talking about that. We were talking about that earlier. And I told him he's a numbers guy, and that's all baseball really, really is numbers. You know, you bet the pitches and stuff like that. Speaking of that, the group we started off 3-0 this morning. We had the under, the first five in the Braves and the Cubs game. And we had, who was it, the Colorado Rockies plus +0.5. We got that one in.
Anything for the people, Ceno, before we get out of here?
Nah, man, y'all know where to find me. Ceno Royale X. Y'all make sure y'all jump on my max bet run. I'm on a nice little heater. Last 34 max bets of 24 and 10, plus +35.7 units. You can come ride with me on that. Of course, you can jump in on the VIP line, and we always win there.
Y'all heard Ceno. Hey, man, he's been on fire. You know, Spread also has his own little system going. It's always on fire. You're dealing with three guys who do this for a living every day. You guys DM me if you're interested in joining the Supreme Clientele. It is costly because it's always quality over quantity over here, man. This is The Wager World. We'll see you guys on Wednesday.